Bond had never been particularly comfortable at the Casino of Monte Carlo, even if it was one of the most famous in the world. Of course, it had its own song, The Man Who Broke the Bank at Monte Carlo, which had become an anthem for all gamblers. There had been the legendary run of luck in 1913 when the colour black had come up 26 times in a row at the roulette table. Somewhere in the building was a room still known as the morgue, where the bodies of unlucky gamblers had once been stored after they had gone bust and shot themselves at the table. All of this added to its reputation for romance and excitement. The building continued to dazzle visitors with its old-fashioned opulence, but the architecture put Bond more in mind of a large railway station. And where was the romance? It seemed to him that the wealthiest players, the Italians, the Greeks and the South Americans, were absolutely grim-faced as they took their places at the Green Bay's battlefield, setting their sights only on the business of amassing tax-free capital gains. And there was something unashamedly vulgar about the decor that surrounded them. The crimson carpets, the over-theatrical curtains, the inevitable chandeliers. The naiads painted on the ceiling of the Salon Vert were actually smoking cigars. It was a small detail, but a telling one. For Bond, the casinos at Belley and Les Torquettes were less ostentatious and more welcoming. He was comfortable there. At Monte Carlo, he always felt as if he were auditioning for a part in a play he would never actually want to see. But even as he climbed the steps that led to the grand entrance, dressed now in a dinner jacket and black tie, he felt the familiar stirrings of warmth and excitement known to every gambler in the world, the sense that this night would be his night, and that even if the casino had carefully stacked the odds against them, he, with Lady Luck at his side, would bulldoze his way through to victory.